Hey, thank you for listening and for returning. I had the honor today of interviewing someone very significant to me. She is a leader in Christian ministry. She has founded a ministry called In the Word Ministries, all about equipping women to be whole and live lives founded in God's Word. You're about to be blessed. I will tell you, full disclosure, we did have a tech issue, so we had to redo our interview, so you'll hear us chuckle about that. But get ready and be blessed by Eileen Epps Hamilton. I'm so excited. This is an interview that I'm going to offer, hopefully one of many. I would like to have you hear from her heart several times, but this is the first one. It's the first one for me with this technology, obviously. but I would love to have her come back, and I think I will several times. But anyway, so basically, she's my mentor. She is my mentor spiritually, professionally, maritally. She helps me be a good wife. She's the keeper of my secrets. I will tell you, she knows more about me than probably anyone else. Things that I've been through, things that I struggle with. You've heard me in my podcast and on YouTube. I've said every pastor's wife needs a person like that. And she's my person. She's my safe place. And if you are a pastor's wife watching this or listening, you need a person. You need an Eileen in your life, okay? But I want to talk to her about her ministry and her trajectory to getting there. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the culture, because there's some things that she and I talked about before that I think needs to be said a lot of times. So I will say this is the first one, so be patient with me and the technology, and we're going to figure it out as we go along. So Eileen Epps Hamilton, thank you so much for being part of this and for being patient. I want you to just tell us anything you want to tell us about you as a woman, and then we're going to kind of narrow it to talk about you as a woman in ministry and leading and founding a ministry. So. Please.
The drawback on this is she had all the good questions before, and now she's really going after my poor. But I want to thank Terry, because I think she is the one with Gotsy Girl and all her other platforms that she uses to encourage women. And if I say anything, I want to say how important it is. Two things. Number one, to find you, as she says, one or two women that you can really cling to, who can be your Barnabas, who is your encourager, who can be your Timothy, the one who you mentor and you pour into. It's very important for women to have community. Unfortunately, sometimes we can't find that within our church. I have many friends within different communities across the city who I learn from, who I share from, and who I use to help to inform me so I can better inform my community. But community is very important, that you have a group that you feel safe and who you can be yourself and authentic with, which is one of the challenges. Mm-hmm. Women being able to be authentic and their true self.
Right.
There are so many faces trying to do what we think is the right thing, Christian thing to do, and what we end up doing is a disservice to the glory that God has put into us as he has created us in his image. So your first question was about me as a person.
Who are you as a person?
I am a person who is constantly changing, and will probably do that to the day I die. I was born and raised in Canton, Kansas, in a small township called Quintero, a very tight-knit community where truly the whole village raised you. Every family had a fruit tree in its yard, and everyone in the community could punish the children when they were inappropriate, and by the time you got home, then it was reinforced by the parents. I have had a very checkered career. Started off in education, taught special education. Then I went into the private sector, worked in telecommunications with Southwestern Bell and AT&T, took the early buyout and then established my own consulting practice, ITW Associates, and did organization development and leadership, and then used that as a springboard into the ministry, which is in the word ministry, which has been in existence for the last 10 years. So we're going into our second decade. I'm married to Ronald Hamilton, who I love dearly, who is very patient with me, who acts as the operations manager, the information manager, because really, in the word ministries, is myself, my husband, and some dedicated volunteers, who are usually family members too, who support and speakers and clinicians who volunteer their time at no charge to help share and grow women to be the person God has created them to be.
That's amazing. And I've been to events in Kansas, and they are top-notch. I mean, they are top-notch ministry events and done with excellence. So if anybody is listening or watching in Kansas, you got to go to itwministries.org and find out what's happening, what's going on. So what made you have a heart for women? What made you go, you went from consulting to a women's ministry. What's at the core of that, do you believe?
Really, I did not have a core. I mean, I did not have a desire to do a women's ministry. I wanted to go into ministry. I wanted to teach. But what would happen as I approached churches or other ministers, they would direct my energies to the women's ministry, which I felt was not where I wanted to be, but I was slotted there. What really caused a change in heart was to visit Greenwood, Mississippi. A friend of mine, Siobhan Myricks, who has a ministry there called Ministry Managers, invited me there. And the women, the thing you know about Greenwood, Mississippi, is it's not popular on the demographics. Usually all of the negative social factors, events, cost of living, all of them are extremely negative. And I found a group of women who were, as I describe it, so believing God that He would not only deliver them, but even in the midst of their struggles, He was with them. And they would have me praying with them. And when I saw their faith and I saw their love of God, my heart was lit. And so I changed my vision from equipping people to equipping women to move forward with the ministry. So that's how I got into the women's ministry. And I'm finding that as we keep our eyes on Christ and we're open, we have that time where we dedicate to listen to His voice, to hear His voice, to ask Him questions, to challenge Him, for Him to challenge us back, that He has so much more in store for us that we can't even imagine, but we have to be open and receptive to hear His voice. Yeah. And that's why I said I'm constantly changing. We have had a consistency in mission and vision. We have changed our operating principles for the next 10 years. But God has consistently said that it's women. We started off the ministry charging in order to cover expenses. We were able to move to a business model where we offered our events at no charge. We do an annual fundraising event called Lydia's Market. Because it made no sense to ask women to pay to hear God's word. We are not a replacement for churches. We are not a parachurch group. What we hope to do is to expand the spiritual capacity of women so they can go back into their home churches and serve and to continue to grow and to sell into their church homes in order to make society really a place of kingdom. And this is God's kingdom. He has come, He is coming, and He will continue to come. But we really need to be focused on kingdom business.
Amen. And I love what you said, that you're not trying to replace the home church, you know, but you're building the capacity, you know, of women to be more effective in ministry, whether their ministry is a formal ministry like ITW or whether it is the ministry at their job, at their home, at the grocery store. And I love that you have an emphasis on God's word. Why is, and I want to go back to, again, the significance of women, you know, in our culture, but I also want you to tie in the significance of God's word for women. So why do you, no, so that's two prong, I'm getting you. So number one, why is...
I need to write this down. Okay.
Yeah, this is, as a pastor would say when he unloads heavy, it's like point A, point B. So point A is, why are women significant in our culture? Not only in Christendom, but in the culture as a whole, a human culture. And number two, what role does the Word of God play in her life, the modern contemporary woman?
Right, the contemporary woman. And that's the challenge. It's really understanding that God's Word is relevant, because it's truth. But let me get back to women and their significance. I think women are significant because God designed us to be significant. Mm-hmm. He created us to be very different than Adam. He created and instilled within us certain traits and characteristics that dealt with nurturing and developing and supporting Adam and then the subsequent family.
Yeah.
If you look at the statistics, we see that women are the head of the household in the United States, which means it's a double burden because it's a challenge as the kids become older. You really do need two parents, if at all possible. That whole devolution of family that we see has taken place. We can just look around society and see what the impact it is. As we see our children struggling for identity, we see them in need of structure, taught in just some of the basic amenities that are needed to be taught by two parents. So women nurture and support, and so that's the significance of society. And they also impact and influence. They influence societal patterns, they influence the political arena, they influence what happens within our churches. I mean, women have a significant amount of power.
Yes, yes, you can look at the Bible.
With that power, with that power and with that authority, it is so critical to be guided and influenced by truth.
Yes.
And I think in postmodern society, which we're in, where there is no supposedly truth and everything is true, without that wisdom, without that discernment, with all that comes from the Bible, because it never changes.
Yeah.
This truth is there. It is evident. Everything from Old Testament, which I love, to New Testament, the realization of truth and its impact continues to be the best way to move forward. Because truth is moving. I mean, we see that in the political arena. We can see things happen on television, and someone will tell you that's not true. And you'll question, and you've just seen it happen.
Right, right.
There's no truth. Even the responsibility that we have abdicated to social media to provide truth. We're challenging AOL to say, you're supposed to make sure that everything that's out on the internet is true. So the question is, where is your brain?
Right.
Have you ever, a young person told me, I said, where did you get that truth? And they said, I got it on the internet. I said, what other support, other books? And they told me they don't read books.
I know.
And I understand you have to be critical there too, but I mean, check your sources. Why would we abdicate to know the truth from social media. And now we're all surprised because it's misinformation and misguided. Mm-hmm. God, that's a good brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like critical thinking skills have kind of become, we've hit pause.
And people will say, what's critical thinking skills? Because you haven't, when's the last time you heard that? I mean, right. It was 1980 before we talked about critical thinking skills because no one's thinking. Everyone's reacting. We don't have time. We depend upon Syria and Alexa to tell us what we need. Like one young person said, I don't need to go to college because I've got Alexa and Siri. They'll tell me anything I need to know, but they will give you information. They will not give you knowledge.
Right. And they will not, they can give you facts. Right. And fact and truth are two different things. Siri can give me facts. You know, this happened here, this happened then. There's a spread in cancer. There's a, marriages are falling apart. But the truth is that God is a healer. And God is a restorer of relationships. And so you got to know the difference between fact and truth. Truth is what comes from God's word. So I love that.
And the word becomes the medium that we understand the revealed will of God through the Holy Spirit. It's like people say, I don't understand what God's saying. You've got the Holy Spirit. Read the word. He will translate and will know. But if you don't read the word, the Holy Spirit... You expect the Holy Spirit to, what, speak in tongues to you or in some language, but you don't even understand.
Right. And I love what ITW is about, is equipping women to live victoriously. And that cornerstone for that is the Word of God. And unless you know God's Word, it's a dangerous thing to be listening to a spirit. Because you got to be able to measure anything that you get from a spirit against the word of God. Because there's a lot of spirits out there, and they're all talking. They're talking.
Absolutely.
They're all talking. And so,
I'm reading a book right now on spiritual discernment. And one of the examples that they give is the U.S. Treasury agents, in order to spot counterfeits. Hmm. They don't train them to look for counterfeits. They just train them in understanding and seeing the authentic copy, the authentic what it really looks like.
Wow.
So when you walk into a room, you're not trying to turn it and look. You already know what it is. And so
but you have a real deal.
Real deal. So you don't have to worry about searching where it's wrong because you already know what right looks like.
Right.
And
right.
So that's what the word does. It helps you to really where something is in air or if you hear something. Even we have to question everything, even if it comes from the pulpit.
Yes.
Even if it comes from televangelists.
That's right. That's right.
I take copious notes and then I always put question marks because it's like, I'm going home.
And check it out.
If you're taking this in out of context,
Right.
Is it really what God says? Because I got the Scooby-Doo when I heard it. And you know what the Scooby-Doo is. When you hear something, you're like, oh.
Yeah, like, oh. I call it goosebumps sometimes. Yeah.
Oh, when you get the Scooby-Doo.
So is that what you... Is that what
whole thing
is not resonating? Oh, I got you. I understand. Yeah, something's not resonating. And we got to know God's word. We gotta know God's word. I advocate it all the time on the podcast. And any preacher worth his salt will tell you, check this out, read, take notes, follow up on this, read up on this when you get home, look at the languages, look at the whatever. Any pastor worth his salt will tell you that. So, and I think that that's one of the ways that the kingdom of hell is tripping us up with these counterfeits. And we, a lot of times in our culture, and I'm talking human culture, we do not know the authentic well enough to be able to touch and see if it doesn't feel right, or if the color is off, or what have you. We don't know the Holy Spirit well enough. And what role do you think that plays on our younger people? We talked about the women and why they need the word, but what about this generation coming after us?
Like I said, in the studies that Borna is doing as far as generational differences and generations that are at risk, the later generations are at risk because they're not getting the biblical training that they need. And I think that I hold the parents accountable and responsible for that. You have two extremes. You have some parents who say, I'm going to wait until they're old enough to make their own decision. Well, we don't let them make their own decision when they're coming up and going to school. We have a responsibility to make sure that our children are biblically. Most of our parents oftentimes are not biblically literate. The importance on the word and seeing it in the family is minimized. I'm disturbed that many of them, and I'm going to get a lot of points on this one, but whatever, with reference to the sports and activities that are scheduled on Sunday.
I've noticed that.
You know, so kids can't come to Sunday school because they have to go to soccer, or they have to go to basketball, or they have to go to Tai Chi, or or whatever. Yeah. I think that's disturbing. There is a more importance on hearing the word and being taught the word. Yeah. And when you evaluate churches even, to make sure that they have a solid program for children to receive that word.
Yeah.
And teaching the word, because our children are, they don't know.
Yeah.
I can begin and say, you know, for God's soul, love the world.
No. Oh, okay. I slipped up. Yeah. Right.
You know, so the basics that we took for basics, we're sending our kids out very vulnerable. And I think that's the role of the parents to make sure that that takes place.
I agree. And I think whether you are a single mother or a two-parent home, I think that God will equip you to be able to teach your child. He told you to raise them up. In the word. And so he will guide us and direct us. And I think you're right. There's a trend with those Sunday events. And I mean, even social organizations I'm part of. And God is leading me to take stands and say, no, I can't do that. That's my day of worship. You know, that is my day of family. And, you know, I mean, so really, we have to guard that because that's a dangerous trend. You know, the enemy, I think, sometimes uses busyness to really weaken us.
Absolutely. And he does not want you to give any word in there, because that's true. And the more light that you have in truth, the more he's exposed.
That's right.
The counterfeit is exposed in the light.
That's right. Oh, that's so true. That's so true. And one of the things we talked about when I forgot to record, and I'll close out a little bit with it, but was the fact that we are in a spiritual warfare. And yes, that there is a enemy that I used to call clandestine or hidden, but not so hidden anymore. He's the one whispering, have these events on Sunday. He's the one whispering, you know, you have no hope. You have no reason for hope. Give up. Why are you alive? Why should you even, you know, go through this struggle? You know, that's something that I would love to get you to talk about again, because I think that if there's an enemy that we don't know about, we're very vulnerable. If we don't have an awareness that he exists, we're vulnerable. Even women that are walking at night, what do they tell you? Be aware. Keep your purse close to you. Look around. That we spiritually have to be aware. Keep those things precious to us close and look around. How do we do that in the spirit in this current culture?
I think the beginning point is awareness, because once you're aware of it, then the Holy Spirit will guide you as to how to follow through on that. And I can't remember if we talked about this in this session, since we recorded the other session, but spiritual warfare is not discussed a lot from the pulpit, because I think there's a discomfort or feeling of not having expertise or knowledge. But you'd be surprised if you walk with your people and learn at the same time how they really do respect. May not have all the answers, but there are people out there who do have the answers. There are people who have deliverance ministries. And not to the point of distraction that we think if I stubbed my toe, that was the devil, or if I forgot my coat, that was Satan.
Right.
But understanding that we were told every day to be able to stand against the wiles of Satan. all the truth. And the breastplate of righteousness, and having our feet prepared and shod with the preparation of peace. We're told to put on the helmet of salvation. We're told to put up the shield for the fiery darts and then the sword. I mean, so God would not put that in the word in order for us to discount it. And even Jesus' first accounting in the gospel was dealing with Satan and Satan's temptations and angels who came to minister to him afterwards.
Right.
So those are the things I think that churches need to provide, if nothing more than giving reading literature, starting. I mean, we don't have to do everything from the pulpit.
Right.
Have book clubs and women. I mean, if you have a curiosity about it, go to your Bible bookstore, ask them what's the best book that's not high on a lot of theological terms that would help. Warren Wiersbe has a book, several books out on spiritual warfare.
Really?
To understand.
Now, who is it again? Who is it?
Warren Wiersbe.
Okay. Okay, good. I want everybody to hear it. Yeah.
I'll send that to you and you can put it up on. Or maybe I'll just, we'll work it out together.
Okay. Okay.
Warfare, to understand that, you know, and he talks about pulling down strongholds.
Yeah.
And everything holds it up against the knowledge of God. Because once you have the knowledge of God, Satan. That's why he hates Bible teaching. People say, it's not hard. I can't do it. If it was hard, he wouldn't give it to us.
That's right. But he gives us everything we need to succeed. The Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. And I think, honestly, this is almost comical, but I think that's why Bible study, personal Bible study, which I advocate for, is so difficult on us physically. I mean, and I'll say this, a lot of people know that when you can be energized, full of vitamins, just woke up, but the minute you open your Bible, you're about to fall asleep all of a sudden. You get so sleepy, you can't see the words. Your mind starts to wander. And those things are not coincidental.
No.
The kingdom of hell does not want you. Number one, spending time with God one-on-one. And number two, ingesting that word. He doesn't want you. I think to some degree, and I would love to know what you think, but to some degree, I wonder if he is less intimidated by us getting the regurgitated word on Sundays or on television or on the radio than he is with that one-on-one time set aside with the Lord regularly. I wonder if there's... Yeah, he wants to distract us from that.
We have four distractions. Yeah. You know, they open the door, you turn it around in church, seeing who's walking in the door. Have mercy. Or either you get fixated on the usher whose collar is up instead of that.
Yeah.
So, but God created us for intimacy. And he wants a personal relationship with us. I mean, in the garden, he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. In the cool of the evening. He wants a relationship with us. And even in the garden, after the fall, he made arrangements and accommodations to be back in relations through the person of Jesus Christ because he loves us. And that message of love is lost sometimes. Now, it's not love to the point of that you do anything you want.
But are we that way with our children? I'm sorry to cut you off, but that excited me because a lot of people think that God is wrong for having a standard for us and a standard behavior. But even my children, I love them, but when they were young, I can't let them do whatever they want. My son, John, would eat cookies all day if I let him. You know what I'm saying? So God is not going to let us do whatever we want because we don't often know what's good for us. But that doesn't mean he doesn't love us. So I love that you said that.
Understanding God is not us. You know, he is a holy God. It's a dichotomy because he's a holy God. He is far above us. Yet at the same time, he loves us so much that he comes down to where we are, and he can relate to us. But he's not the man upstairs and the big guy upstairs. He's God. And that's the other thing we've done in society. We have made God small to continue to make us large. Society and what we do with media, we've made Satan. We had a series last year named Satan, and he was a super smooth with the police. And
that's right.
He was 6'4". God, Satan, he wants to kill you. Hello.
Exactly.
You know, we just have all these wonderful things about witchcraft and magic. Understand Satan is an angel of light. He's not going to come with pitchfork and tail and ugly. He's going to come, he's going to be the man of your dreams. You better watch out. Could be the woman in your family.
That's just right. But that's true.
Very careful and very discerning and very connected to God. You stay close to God. Will let you know. The Holy Spirit will let you know this is not really what I should
use. Right. And you remember the article, you mentioned that in the pre-recording, about the article from CBS about how sneaky the enemy is. Like you said, he could be the person sitting next to you at work. And the article, I'll let you explain what the article was about and how that plays into the sneakiness and the slyness of the enemy.
Absolutely. It was saying how the article dealt with how women were turning to witchcraft because they were wanting to return to their roots. And so many of them were dabbling with witchcraft. But understand, if you open the door, Satan will come in.
Yep.
And in that process of women who are the head of most households in America, look at the impact to the children who are seeing that. So not only is the mother influenced, but you influence that whole family and
right.
the children.
Right.
And you open, and we didn't talk about this before, things that we do to open the door to invite Satan into our life. I hated vampires coming up, but I did remember one thing about vampires. You had to invite them over the threshold.
That's right. That's
and it's the same thing with Satan. And the Bible warns us about being very careful of the sins that we hold, that we don't confess, that those sins can become entry for Satan to come and just tear up your life. If your life is really, if you're having some really terrible things, it just seems like stuff's always happening, get into a place of quietness and place and ask the Holy Spirit if there's some point of entry where you have allowed Satan to come in, because he will tear your house up.
He will, and he looks for it.
He will tear it up. So if you're going through a lot, I would recommend that you just get in a quiet place and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal if there's some sin, some unconfessed sin or lifestyle you're pursuing that allows Satan to have entry into your business.
Yeah.
Now, he can really get into your Kool-Aid real quick and in a hurry because you've opened the door. You can lock the door.
And Eileen,
God gave us a process that says if we confess with our mouth our sins, he is faithful to forgive us. Mm-hmm. And we do that as a continual process because we stand continuously.
It's not a one and done. Not a one and done. It's a lifestyle, a process. And I think music is a problem too. I feel like music and television shows, sometimes they open us up to things that are not godly. So we've got to have the Holy Spirit and know the Holy Spirit's voice. I will say horoscopes are something that is reemerging with a lot of the young women in my world. And I'm like, No, you don't have to rely on a star to direct you, a created thing to direct you. You can go to the one that created those stars. Because what that is it's opening a door to a supernatural reality that you do not want to have part of your life. It's not, there's no place for that stuff in the Christian life. So I feel like the enemy is very sly.
Right.
And he's very sneaky.
And I can say, and I can be a witness to it. I'm not going to spend time with you and I can talk about it after. But where Ouija boards, yeah. opened a deadly door for me. Because I was not a mature Christian, but understand those things. You do those things. Ouija boards, horoscopes, tarot cards, all those.
That's right.
Open the door.
They do, and Christians have to be aware. We're not ignorant of the enemy's devices. And I will say this, we don't have to be. The word says we're not ignorant, but I'll say for a lot of Christians, you don't have to be ignorant. You know,
absolutely.
Get educated in the word of God. With that, I really believe that we have hit on some good topics here. I pray that this is one of many things that we will do and explore. Maybe there'll be a part two, part three, part four. I don't know. I pray that.
We have the rest of the list, so we have to do a part
yes.
two.
Yes, she's showing you the list that we created.
And we'll have the camera going.
Exactly. I'll push the record button. But in the meantime, I want you to check out itwministries.org. There is good sound doctrine and good theology on that website. It is a 501c3 organization, and so there is a donate button. I pray that God leads you to sow into this woman of God, because she is really touching lives. I've been to the events. I have seen the impression that it's making. So be a part of that. And in the meantime, I will just learn how to work the technology, cousin.
I'm so proud of you, and you are my Shira.
Oh, praise God. Thank you. It's mutual. It's
everybody
mutual.
Get yourself your own Shiro, okay?
Amen. And so I have a great day. And I pray that you'll share this video. It's a good conversation to listen to while you're driving. If you're listening to me on the podcast, share it. Share it. Let's talk about some of these things that people are scared to talk about. Let's talk about them. And I welcome your comments, too.
That was a lot, wasn't it? Thanks for listening. Hey, I understand that I had some audio issues, but didn't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And just know that we're going to get better and figure things out. And the next interview will be well worth your time in terms of audio. But in content, this was. I thank you for listening again, and I pray that you'll subscribe, you'll share, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'd also love for you to check out Morning Reflections, Eileen Epps Hamilton's podcast. It's available in the Apple Podcast and Google Store. Thanks again. God bless you.
Hey, don't forget to hit the thumbs up button and remember to subscribe, okay?